Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And we started the show talking about Pete Alonso. And as it pertains to the Mets, for me, I want Pete back as a DH. If he can't handle that, then I'm moving on. And I also think the Mets need to, they can't be held hostage again by Pete Alonso and his greedy agent. I'm not letting that happen. Mets need to build a ball club here. I'm not letting Pete hold me up.
Yeah, nor should you, and I don't think that the Mets will. And the irony here is that the market's going to be better for Pete Alonso this year than it was a year ago, because I think he answered some of the questions that were following him into last year's free agent endeavor. But while it will be, I think, more fruitful for him in terms of length and probably even AAV, I think the internal evaluation for the Mets has changed. I think there's more of a recognition and an identification, because Stearns himself has said this about run prevention, which also applies to pitching, as we talked about before, that it might be less receptive in Queens. So there could be other teams out there that view Pete maybe more on that 4 or 5 year contract scale. And the Mets might, I don't know if this is going to flush itself out hopefully soon. I don't think it will be soon. But what needs to happen is that the Mets need to dictate this as much as they humanly can, because there's other players out there that can really reshape their fortunes. And as much as we all, you know, love and respect Pete and would like to see him finish his career as a Met, there's no guarantee that he will. And really, there's no law that says he needs to if you think there's a better way to build a team. Well, that's just the way it is.
That's the bottom line. I believe that the better way to build a team is with him back as the DH, not as a first baseman. So I really don't care what he says or what anybody else says. In my mind, if I were building a team, I'd tell him, I want you back. Here's the parameters of the deal. I'm not going to give you 2 years, $40 million and pay you like a DH. I'm going to pay you like the star that I believe you are and have been for this franchise. It just comes with the caveat that you've got to be the bulk DH moving forward. Then from there, because now you know that you have that trusted power in that lineup and that run production in that lineup, then you could start to build out the rest of the team and how you want to make it look differently with defensive player at first base. How are you going to go about third base? You know, there are plenty of options here. And I think starting pitching, the idea that people are caught up on starting pitching, well, the Mets just need to fix pitching. Yeah, obviously. We all know that. We all know they need to fix the starting pitching. It's going to be a matter of how many and who. Is Schoolbull going to be available? If he is, then go get him. I don't want to hear any excuses. I don't care what it takes to get outside of McLean, and he should be untouchable. He's not even in the prospect conversation anymore. So I don't care what it would take to get Schoolbull. You got to do that and then go sign another free agent pitcher, which they can do. That's the easy fix. How are they then fixing the rest of it, whether it's a center fielder, whether it's Bregman at third base, Bellinger, do they get him? There are a lot of question marks, but for me, I think bringing Pete back is the right thing. Not because he hit it. I couldn't care less if Pete Alonso had 2 home runs as a Met. I care that he's a proven commodity as a power hitter, and he is a bonus to this lineup, an addition, a plus to this lineup. That's where I want him back.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the one thing that I've heard this before with other players, and I just don't get, I don't know why, well, I do. I don't know why people don't understand this. I think that they do, but I think that the sentiment of a player that they care about sometimes clouds their ability to evaluate the situation. What I mean by that is, I remember hearing this last year. Like, you know, how are the Mets going to find a first baseman that's going to hit 40 home runs? Nobody's saying that you need to. Let's just say in the event that you move on from Pete. There's too many people who think that it's impossible or that you need to literally replicate the offensive production from Pete Alonso in 2026 to have a comparable or a better team. And I don't think that that's the case. I think ideally what you do is you shore up the deficiencies, and even if there was a downtick from 37 or 38 home runs this year down to, say, 23 or 24, but the defense was better, the athleticism was better, fewer strikeouts, and then you take the rest of that money and you sprinkle it here and you upgrade this and you do that. Well, now you're a better team. I think there's just too many people who are focused on the individual power, which is undeniable. For Pete Alonso, but there's a lot of options out there for the Mets this winter.
Right, and the bottom line to me is you can't just do it the same thing. Oh, yeah, bring Diaz back, bring Alonso back, and then on top of that get starting pitching. No, it's got to be different. The core has to be changed. Maybe not even just the core, but the infrastructure of this team needs to be changed. I would be more radical and be more aggressive and getting ahead of things. Like, I would look to move Francisco Lindor if I could. I know they're not going to do that, and I can understand why somebody wouldn't want to do that. I personally would. I think he's going to start to decline rapidly defensively at shortstop. He's inconsistent offensively, and he's getting a boatload of money, and he still has some value. So there are a lot of reasons why I would look to move him.
Yeah, you said now, that. I remember saying that a couple months ago, too.
I understand that's not realistic, and they're probably going to keep him, and then what's going to happen is in a year or two, it's going to be like, oh, crap.
Now it's too late, you're not going to get what you could.
Yeah, and then you move him to second base, whatever they have to do. Again, he's not the problem. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, I'm thinking big picture. I'm looking deep stuff here, trying to fix the infrastructure of a team that I just don't believe in the way that they're built right now working. Look at do the math. 2022, they fell short and got embarrassed by the Braves and then in the postseason. 2023, they didn't make the postseason at all. 2024, they went on a run out of nowhere, but it took the final day of the regular season to even get into the playoffs, and then this year they missed the postseason. Big picture overall, the Mets' success has been inflated because of what they did last year in the postseason, which is more the aberration that has been proven now over the last several years.
They're in a very interesting spot. Like, and I know that we've done this a lot, but it has to be restated again. Like, you look around the Mets team right now, first base is a question, second's a question, third's a question, catcher's a question, center's a question. Left is not a question because we know he'll be back, but it's a question in terms of his production, in terms of his arm strength, and the things about Brandon Nimmo that we know that are good and bad. So that's the bad. Like, so it's impossible to look at this Mets team and say, well, you know, they are built to be a World Series. Nobody thinks that.
Or built to have sustained success.
Or that, which is what you've been saying for many years, which I get. But the other thing, too, is there are moves that could be made that could elevate them to that spot and keep them there for a while. Like, it's not like a pipe dream where you have to say the Mets need five things of significance, of consequence. Otherwise, there's no way they can enter the realm of being a championship type of team. That's not the case. But if they don't do the right things and it's 50-50, I know that they'll try, but you got to still make it happen, then they're not a championship team. And it's a very interesting point of their of where they are because of the age and the contracts of some players and some of the young guys who are coming up that we don't really know yet about, and some of the players that are available, we think, like Skubal and some others. It's got to be goal time for the Mets. And listen, the Mets know that. It's not breaking news. Mets know they got to change things up.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Linda's calling from Long Beach. What's up, Linda?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Linda.
You know, if the Yankees had to do it, and I'm a Mets fan, but if the Yankees had to do it all over again, would they have brought Fried in? He is not a postseason pitcher. I want a proven postseason winning pitching. Listen, this guy Blake Snell did nothing all season long. Then he brought him in for the postseason. He was money good.
Okay.
I'm not sure I'm understanding. Are you talking from a Yankees perspective here, Linda, or are you talking from a Mets perspective?
Well, you know, just a little bit of both, because when they let him pitch in the postseason, he was a zero. He was a liability. And they knew that. They knew that because he had pitched with the Atlanta Braves.
With Atlanta, yep. Yeah, listen, the first game he pitched was pretty good. Not amazing, but pretty good. Yep, and then he got rocked by Toronto.
That kind of money, yeah. For that kind of money, I want more than pretty good.
Okay, fair enough, Linda. But here's the thing. To get to the postseason, you need guys like Max Fried to make sure you get there.
Yeah, right.
If Max Fried's on the Mets last year, the Mets are a playoff team. Now, we can have the conversation, and I understand both sides of the coin here. Is he worth $200-plus million 8 years? The answer's probably no. And he has had more bad postseason starts than good. But to have a chance to, you know, get out of the wild card or get out of a divisional series or get out of a league championship series or win a World Series, you got to get there. And guys like Max Fried, and we can even quibble about Rodon and some others, you know, but you got to win X amount of games to put yourself in a position to do something in October.
Yeah, look, Yankees had some issues. I can't pick on Max Fried.
No way.
I know the postseason wasn't good for the Yankees as far as their starters go. That's not why they have fallen short yet again of a World Series. They have some issues. So from a Mets perspective, that's why I wasn't sure if she was talking about the Mets or Yankees perspective. Like, you want to get on the Yankees stuff? We can get on the Yankees stuff. Max Fried wouldn't even come up. From a Mets perspective, Max Fried came up earlier because we talked about last offseason where people were saying, well, David Stearns went cheap and this and that. And the only guy to me that would have been worth investing in long term would have been Fried himself. But I also don't think he's worth $218 million over 8 years.
Yeah, and I think what she was also saying, now she mentioned Blake Snell, but I think that where her mind was, if I could read it, because she calls a lot. I think we get a sense of what she's thinking. That there's one person like that, and that's Schuble.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so Max Fried is obviously really good, but he's not a postseason star, whereas Schuble is, so basically you move mountains to get him. I think that's what she was saying. You got to have a horse atop the rotation.
I have changed my thought process as I try to evolve along with the sports evolution. We've had this conversation. I'm more in agreement with David Stearns than most. Now, he took it to another extreme. I would not be investing in Frankie Montas, period. I also would not have tried all of the guys in the rotation to be the reclamation projects or guys on the value. I think that that's a smart, sound thought process. I just don't think it could be all of them.
Yeah, in Cincinnati, try that.
Yeah, not here. You shouldn't have to. Now, I used to be of the belief that I wanted a legit ace and a legit number two. Now, I just think you got to be smart and build out a rotation. You need an ace. Whether it be in the postseason or whether it be to get to the postseason, you need a horse at the top of the rotation that's going to be a stopper, going to be reliable, and dominant every 5 days. You don't need three of them like the Mets tried to do a couple years ago in 2022. You don't even need two of them, but you need one of them. Then from there, like the Mets rotation right now, if they go get Schuble, they have to me now a number one, a number two in McClain, and then Holmes, Peterson, Manaea, whatever, 3, 4, 5. I'm fine with that.
I agree.
Even Montas, who I can't stand and is not going to pitch this year, if you're telling me he's your fourth or fifth starter, whatever. Like, you suck it up. He's not going to pitch in the postseason for a guy who could give you maybe some innings. Now, again, he's hurt this year, so we know. I'm just saying that I don't care what they do from 3 through 5, really. Find whoever you want. Take as many value chances as you want. But you need to have a horse atop the rotation.
There's no question. You absolutely need that. Now, I think when we were younger, the definition of an ace, it's changed a little bit here, as we know. You know, because guys just don't go as long, and Tommy John surgery is much more common, so guys miss full swaths of seasons. But whether it's a number one or an ace, however you want to define it, here's what that guy at the top of the rotation does. Number one, and forget about October for a minute. He stops losing streaks during the regular season. There's value there. Number two, he keeps winning streaks going. That's a good thing. And number three, he gives your bullpen a chance to regenerate. So all these things matter over 162. Hey, Gibson, Drysdale, Koufax, Randy Johnson, Greg Maddux, Roger Clemens, Young Doc, Guidry in 78. Come on, Clemens. Like, those days, there's still a few of those guys around. It has changed, but the presence and the importance of your guy at the top should not, because of the residual impact that I just mentioned.
You nailed it, because a lot of the reason why I'm okay with Stearns' philosophy for the most part is because investing in high-end pitching is not the same value as it used to be, because those guys used to pitch a lot more and more often. Meaning, you know, you were strict on your schedule every 5 days. Now it's these rest days. You want to go to a six-man rotation at times, or guys need the extra rest. Not to mention that they used to go 8, 9 innings for a true ace.
Oh, no question.
Now it's 6, 7 innings.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still great value in that. The Mets this year never had a chance to have a guy go out there and just take a timeout for a second and reset, not only with a victory or a good performance, but a guy who actually gave you some breathing room with the bullpen to give you 6, 7 strong innings to then, okay, We didn't, you know, overuse the bullpen this day. It was just they were bleeding nonstop.
Yeah.
2 innings, 3 innings, 5 innings at best. You can't sustain that from a top end of the rotation aspect. That, to me, is the most important.
Yeah, and think about this. Like, the Mets lost some series that they just shouldn't have lost to teams that they should have beaten. Well, I think part of the reason why that happened, and there's a lot, but, you know, when you go in, say you're playing a bad team Friday, Saturday, Sunday, home or the road, it doesn't matter, and Friday night you get 3 to 3rd innings from whomever starts the game for you, right? Well, now the precedent has been set for that entire weekend. You're in your bullpen Friday, which obviously impacts Saturday, which obviously impacts Sunday. Yeah. Now, the other thing, now, the Mets need to change their offense, as we've discussed many times. I can't quantify this, but common sense will prevail here. When you are in the hole 3-0 after 1, 5-1 after 2, you're losing 7-2 after 5, what do you do as a hitter? You start to press. Like, so I don't think that the numbers, the statistics, especially with Soto, the batting averages with runners in scoring position, is that true last year for the Mets, which was a big problem, is that truly reflective of the state of their offense? Well, I think in certain spots it is, but I also think it was the increased pressure because you're playing from behind.
Tommy calling from West Babylon. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
All right.
So for the Yankees, you know, offseason here, if they're going to sign a free agent, I think Alonso should be their first option.
Nah, I don't want Pete Alonso. I'm not interested. but I'm going to let you go for sure. Go ahead. Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. The Yankees haven't had a real slugging first baseman since Teixeira and Giambi. And the infield, it needs an impact bat. The infield is not very good. And, Bellinger would be good in the outfield, but when you look at this infield, especially if the Yankees are going to run a lot of these guys out there, you got McMahon at third, who's no bat. Volpe, you know, he's not much of all. I mean, Jad's a 30-30 guy. Mm. And then what do you have for first base? You're going to put, Rice? I mean, we don't really have a first baseman. And if the Yankees are going to be frugal, like one free agent signing, from what's out there, Alonso, I think, would be good. I mean, your only other option, would you go with Bo Bichette at short? But there's got to be another infielder on this team.
Yeah, the infield's not nearly good enough. Now, the Yankees infield stinks. I just don't like it at all, Tommy. Now, I don't want Pete Alonso there. But you think about the last championship team the Yankees won. I mean, gee, you had Mark Teixeira, switch-hitting gold glove first baseman, bang. You had Robinson Cano, boom. You had Jeter, boom. You had A-Rod, boom. I mean, let's go around the horn now. I mean, you had 38-year-old Goldschmidt when he played, or Ben Rice, who's not a first baseman. You had Jazz, who's half the time is in space at second base. His shortstop is a mess. And your third baseman strikes out 200 times a year or hit 220. I mean, so you obviously need to upgrade the infield. I am not starting with Pete Alonso. Like, if Pete Alonso said, I'll go to the Yankees for a year or 20 just to stick it to the Mets, I don't want him. That's not the route. I'd rather have Bellinger at first base. I would even rather experiment with Ben Rice learning how to play first base over Pete Alonso. Not interested.
Pete Alonso's the last thing the Yankees need. And guess what? We could end the conversation here. It's not happening. The Yankees know what. They have no interest in Pete Alonso. So it's a sexy sports talk debate. Ugh. Ooh, could Pete leave to go to the Yankees? The Yankees don't want him, nor should they. The Yankees got to build out a better team, a well-rounded team. The last thing they need is Pete Alonso, who's not a well-rounded ball player. If Pete were better, I'm not trying to knock Pete. I want him back. The Mets need his bat. The Yankees don't. The Yankees' problem is not hitting home runs and driving in runs.
Although if they lose Bellinger and Grisham, and again, I'm not going to change my opinion. I don't want Pete. But I'm saying we're thinking how the Yankees were constructed a year ago with their power. If Bellinger goes somewhere else and they don't get Tucker and Grisham is gone, well, now that's a lot of home runs that left the building.
No, yeah, but they still have Stanton. They still have Judge in there. You know, you still got Rice. The Yankees have a lot of home runners up and down that lineup. If you need, and even if you did need to replace some of the power, you would need to move on from Giancarlo Stanton to even bring in Pete. Just because my philosophy on Pete Alonso does not change whether it's the Mets or the Yankees. The Mets need him more definitively. If the Yankees lost a lot of power in their lineup, they still would, let's say they need him, I still would not make him play first base.
No, I can't have
him. If I'm trying to win baseball games, he's not a first baseman.
No. I mean, and the Yankees, you know, when the Yankees win championships, they have always had a first baseman that could pick it. Of course, Teixeira, Tino was a very good right-handed defensive first baseman. Chambliss was even pretty solid, you know, back in the day. Listen, you're right. It's a sexy sports radio story. The phones will light up, but we're not here to do lazy radio. Yankees don't want him. They don't need him. Hopefully he figures it out with the Mets. And if he's not willing to play a little DH, then Pete's going to have to leave New York. It's probably that simple.
Sport. I hope that that's the case, meaning that the Mets make him play DH or make him DH this year more often. Sports Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus, streaming November 16th on Paramount Plus. It's the return of Landman from Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone. Academy Award winner Billy Bob Thornton is back, featuring Academy Award nominees Demi Moore, Andy Garcia, and Sam Elliott. Landman, new season streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus. Hoff wants to give us this managerial hire here.
Yeah, there's down to one position left.
The Rockies' job got filled.
No.
Oh, the Padres' job got filled.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Take a guess.
There's no way it's Mattingly.
He's never going to guess.
Craig Stavin.
Take a guess. I would have been here. Craig Stadler, the old golfer, I would have come closer to saying.
Well, I know him because I used to have him on fantasy baseball. But
yeah, he's a reliever, a former reliever.
What's his name?
Craig Stammen.
How many relief pitchers become managers?
Dude,
Not many.
That's the
Adam Ottavino's next.
Yeah.
He might be for the Rockies. That's the point. Go over these managerial hires. I don't think I've ever. Now, I've heard of Stammen as a reliever, but come on. You get the point.
Drew Butera.
You're right.
Trout Sal's brother.
Drew Butera.
Okay.
Who else? You have the hires?
Walt Weiss. Oh,
yeah,
no,
Walt Weiss I've heard of. Okay, that's a good one.
Walt Weiss is a good player.
Yeah, I like
good
Walt
team.
Weiss. Yeah. And also a...
Walt Weiss, a New York kid, I think. I think he was from Rye.
I think you might be right.
Somewhere up there, I'm pretty sure Walt Weiss is
from Rye. Yeah, I liked him with Oakland.
The Orioles. And then the Orioles, and then the Mets. No, wait, talking about Weiss. Walt Weiss. Walt Weiss early with the A's.
Are you thinking Al Weiss?
No, I'm thinking Walt Weiss. I just got the wires crossed for a minute. Me too.
Walt Weiss
I was
with
an A primarily.
A's.
Very good.
I think he played with the Braves as well. Did he play with the Rockies for a little bit?
He did, yeah.
Okay. Colorado, too.
And didn't he manage somewhere else?
He managed the Rockies.
That's
yes.
what I thought. Okay,
and he
right.
sucked there.
Right. Okay, but
I mean,
at least...
Well, they sucked.
At least he was a prominent player or a player that was known that became a big league manager and is now getting another opportunity. The other guys, it seems like, are right out of the front office. You have the other list of names?
I have some. Skip Shoemaker.
Oh, outfielder.
Schumacher, whatever this is.
Now, he went to
jockey.
Where?
He's the Rangers. He took over Bruce Bochy.
He was the manager in Florida, was he not?
He was there a couple years ago.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Craig Albernaz.
Don't know the name.
Never heard of him.
He's with the Orioles.
Right.
Good
congratulations.
For him, they stink. Yep.
The Giants signed Tony Vitello.
I love this. The Tennessee coach. I think that's very interesting. I don't know if it's going to work, but I give him points for being forward thinking.
Never heard of him in my life before.
I've actually seen him manage. I've actually watched Tennessee. They're on TV a lot. Good. I don't know. I mean, I don't know his managerial style, but I know him. Good.
Drew Butera went to the Twins.
Drew, never heard of him. I heard of his father or whatever. So.
I think it's what we got.
How boring is that? We knew every manager growing up. I mean.
And now Craig Stammen. God. Yeah. And we'll see what happens with the Rockies. But yeah, the days of hiring Willie or Donnie or.
And you heard
Bobby
Pete McCarthy
Buck,
say that that Mattingly's, or there's a connection to Mattingly with the Phillies, right? You heard that?
I did not hear this.
And on the update, that's what Pete McCarthy
said. No, what did he say?
There's a report that Mattingly may be interested in going as a bench coach to the Phillies.
Whoa.
With Rob Thompson there?
Yeah.
Hey, Donnie. That's a pretty small yard.
Dude, you'd rather him with the Phillies than the Blue Jays, though.
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather him with the Yankees. I mean, that's what I
gotta
really
be
prefer.
Honest. What he's doing, he's ring chasing, bro.
Stop, dude.
He is.
He's not LeBron.
He
Get
was
the hell
with,
out of
he was with the Blue Jays last
year. And he elevated him to the World Series job done.
Okay.
He's moving on.
So now he's going to the Phillies, which is the next best team behind the Dodgers. I mean, I see what he's doing.
He's ring chasing.
Yeah.
BT and Sal. Well, so far it hasn't worked. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Just been busy here. We had Hank on. We've been doing a lot of baseball stuff. We're going to do Power Up when we come back at 1240. But there is something that I wanted to bring up today, BT. And I have a bone to pick with your guy, A-Rod.
A-Rod!
Yeah, did you see him at the Knick game last night? He was there.
I did. Rooting on his Timberwolves.
Understood. I expected that to be the case with A-Rod. How does A-Rod... He was on with us. You went out with him, so you're actually buddies with him. He came on with us, and he was saying, "Oh, you guys are my buds. Come out to my place, blah, 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 blah."
He didn't. He invited us out there, yeah.
Okay. Oh, I mean, I didn't get the invite.
Told me for both of us.
Okay, well, but still, that's not necessarily inviting me because we never ended up going out there. Not that we could with logistics, whatever.
I got you.
But how about an invite to the premiere of his new show on HBO?
I did get invited.
You did?
I did.
Well, now, okay, so you're out of this one. Now, I have a bone to pick with A-Rod.
Well, you're going to have a bone to pick with me because you got invited as well.
What?
You got invited as well. I got I will even show you the timestamp. This is a true story. So as Hoff was laying on his deathbed for 2 days and I was laying on my deathbed simultaneously at home, I got a text message from A-Rod's nephew, Nick.
Yeah.
Great guy. Yes. I think you know Nick a little bit.
Well.
So you know Nick. Really good dude.
Yes.
And he joined us at lunch that day, so I got to meet him. I got to know him a little bit. And he actually invited me and you to go to the premiere. Now.
When was it?
It was Monday night.
Oh.
Yeah. So the bone is not to pick with A-Rod, it's to pick with me.
I get you, because you had direct
contact. So you can start picking, but let me just defend myself for a moment.
Yeah.
Now... When you have a fever, and I have not had a fever, thank God, in a long time. I had almost 103 fever, and I had that for a good day and a half. When I got the text, I could barely read it, and my mindset was nowhere near even really responding or trying to coordinate like, hey, guys, although I did eventually get back. Guys, I'm sick. Hey, but maybe Sal wants to go. Maybe Hoff could take my place. I was not in that space. If I was not sick, number one, I would have gone, and you would have gone with me. And if I wasn't quite so sick, but still sick enough to not be at work, I would have said, hey, I'm sick or I'm not not up for it, but let's coordinate with Sal. Let me hook my guy up.
You dropped the ball on this.
No,
one.
I didn't drop the ball on anything. Why would I drop the ball?
That's a ball dropper. That's a ball dropper.
You would know.
So now let me give you my perspective. I'm seeing this stuff. Now I'm excited to watch this show tonight.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I'm seeing the promotion, and in my mind, I'm thinking, well, we got to get A-Rod on the show. He's going to be in New York. You got the T-Wolves coming to town. We got to get him in studio. He said if he were going to be in studio or in town for the World Series, if the Yankees made it, he would come in. We got to get A-Rod in studio. So I'm thinking the show. I'm thinking we'll help promote the show. We'll get A-Rod in studio.
Yeah.
And then I'm seeing all these pictures from Susan Waldman and A-Rod and his team about the premiere. And I'm thinking, dude, you call us your buds. Well, you have this premiere. You're in town. We're not getting any invites here.
No, we did get the invites.
Well, that now it gets back to you. That's what I'm saying. You dropped the ball. We could have been there on the red carpet with A-Rod.
I'm looking at the text now. I pulled it up. All right, so Alex, he goes, BT, Rick, Nick is going to invite you and Sal.
Yeah, that does me no good now.
Yeah, now I got a bone to pick with A-Rod. What the hell?
Well, I mean, maybe you'll get the next invite there. Nick's going to invite you and Sal to my HBO doc premiere this Monday in Midtown. They're going to send both you guys invites. Hope you can make it. I'm going to let Nick take it from here, Alex. And then Nick chimed in, his nephew.
Yeah.
He's like, yo, BT, I got you, brother. What's your email? Hook me up with Sal's as well. And I was sick.
That's a ball drop.
All right. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, I didn't want to drop the ball. I would have rather been working
all right, well, now,
and not have 102 and a half, 103 fever.
Now to make up for it, you've got to hit him up and try to get him in studio this week while he's in town. Or next week.
He's not available this week. I already went above and beyond.
Oh, so you...
Well, I mean, you make it seem like I did nothing. I got him on the show.
You did nothing. You fell asleep.
You did get him on the show.
I got him on the show initially. You know, I mean, I'll see what I can do. I don't want to be up his ass,
We've got to continue to milk the teat.
Let's start brown those in A-Rod. I mean, come on.
We're not brown those, and he's got a show coming out. It fits perfectly.
There's a fine line between being, you know, overly persistent and badgering and being a little proactive.
I like to
stay on the side of proactive.
Right, but he invited us. Meanwhile, I didn't even know about it.
Listen, I'll take a half an L. I'll take the letter I, you know.
I swear
lowercase. Lowercase I.
I was going to go right.
Make sure you dot that I, bro. Make sure you dot it.
I was going to go right
to
the top.
Extra dark.
Dot this.
Go get A-Rod. Meanwhile, he did. A-Rod, I apologize. Maybe we are buds. I got to give you my number here so we don't get these things lost in translation here. This is on BT.
Your name made the first line of the text. It did. It was.
Even aside from that, I was just saying, as a show, I didn't need to be included just to have my ego stroke. But I'm legitimately thinking like,
No, you could have been on the red carpet. I mean, now it's even more angry. You could have been there for everything.
Yeah.
The after party, the whole spiel. Sorry, buddy.
I was about to call him out.
I was
like,
sick.
You know what? You're fraud. You're coming on. You're calling us buds. Inviting us out. Where are the invites? Maybe they're coming. You're just not giving them to me.
Let me tell you one thing about Alex. It's funny because I used to criticize him when he was playing. And I even told this. I said this to him when we had lunch. I said, I think your biggest issue. This wasn't the first thing I said, but eventually, because we were there for a couple hours, I said, I think your biggest issue was that you got in your own way.
Yeah.
I said you were never really truly you, or I wasn't sure which version of you was you. And ironically, that's what A-Rod versus Alex versus A-Rod's about.
I know
his struggle to eventually.
You didn't watch it yet, did you?
I didn't. I cannot wait to watch. I heard it was really good.
So it's going
to
be the one
part
episode,
one, two, yeah,
exactly.
They split it up.
Yeah.
I'm really into it. I can't wait to watch. I wish I was not sick. It's something I would have been to and I would have gone to. I will say one thing about Alex, man. Like, he's not a phony. Like, there's nothing that I could give Alex Rodriguez. He's got all the money in the world. He's got all the fame in the world. He owns the Timberwolves. I mean, one of the greatest players of all time. What can I give Alex? Nothing. I mean, really, what can I give him?
Well, you can
give him a little airtime. Okay, wow, he gets 150 more eyeballs on his show or 1,000.
Good PR.
I understand that. What I'm saying, though, he has reached out, and since that lunch, he has been very connected to, I mean, I don't want to say our relationship, I don't want to make it seem weird, but, like, he really is a good dude. Like, he's just he loves talking shop, and he's texting me throughout the Yankees and the World Series and in between breaks with Big Poppy and Jeets. I love Alex Rodriguez.
And you big-timed him. You ignored the invite to his premiere.
Said I was sick.
You gotta milk the teeth.
You are out of your mind by
BT
saying that.
BT and Sal, all the family.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
These weeks, it fluctuates week to week. I thought that we had a consistent, at least, basis the last couple of weeks. But with the NFL, you never know. And now I've got some teams coming and going of my top five and certainly some changing of the rankings here. I'm going to start us off number five, and maybe they can end up being higher here. But I have them back on my list. Probably should never have taken them off there. I got the Bills back up there. They're one of the best teams in the NFL. We can pick apart their defense and the inconsistencies. Push comes to shove. Buffalo, as we now enter week 10, they're one of the top five teams in the NFL. Other teams may have a better record. They'd be more consistent. I still trust Josh Allen and that Bills team ultimately to be one of the better teams in the NFL. They have cracked my top five once again. They're at number five.
Okay, yeah, I penalized them over time as well, and I think that was being fair to who they are. I have them higher than you, so I'll get to them later. They are on my list. I've got Detroit, number five. Now, I had to drop down a few slots here. That was an odd game there. It was a home game, which you hate to lose there in the division. Obviously, McCarthy played well. And you're throwing for a couple, runner for one. Now, I think, I'm not going to say it's an outlier, because I do think that, you know, Detroit is like everybody pretty much this year, is beatable on some level. But I don't think Detroit's going to have another game this year where they run the ball so poorly. They only average 3 yards a carry, which is one of their real, you know, real assets as a team. So you give the credit to the Vikings for stopping them. I think that's not going to really resurface a whole lot more. So while I was very surprised and disappointed, not enough to get them out of my top five. Detroit's number five.
Yeah, the NFC to me is so weird. And I thought Detroit for a while, I had them number one, then I had them number two. I actually dropped them down to number four. So they're still atop my list, but they are number four. But when you're looking at the NFC, now you've been higher consistently on the Eagles than I have, and maybe that's a bad omission by me not having the Eagles in my top five. The Packers have been in and out. I can't trust them. I'm sorry. You lose at home to the Panthers. I can't put them in my top five. The Bucs, I don't really trust them. Seattle, they've been terrific, but Sam Darnold, can I trust them? Overall, I think the Lions I trust more than almost everybody else in the NFC. And the majority of the year, it's been them over everybody else in the NFC. Right now, I have one team ahead of them, but I have the Lions at number four.
Okay, I'm going to go with Seattle here. You know, I've been very reluctant to buy into them. I wasn't feeling it. Matter of fact, it's a very tough division to read there because the Niners have historically owned that, and the Rams are a pretty interesting team, and Seattle was really up and then down. But I think that Seattle, to me, is kind of real, at least real enough to be on the list. So the number four, Darnold was great. Now, if this is bigger picture in terms of championship, I'm not feeling it. I don't trust Darnold or even like getting to the NFC championship game necessarily. I don't trust him to that extent. But they've got two losses. One was to San Francisco, good team. The other was to Tampa, good team. Both playoff teams. So I've got to show a little love to Seattle. Six up, two down. Darnold was great. They've got some weapons. Good home field, Seattle four.
I think they've got a shot, and I considered putting them on my list. When I'm doing these rankings, I'm not just reacting to what happens over the course of the last week. I'm trying to project forward by, if I were going to do this in week 18, who would my five best be? And it's been very hard to do that this year because of the fluctuation between these teams week in, week out.
It's been impossible, really.
Yeah, it is. So that's why it's always different, and it seems like we're reacting to each week. But that's one of the reasons why I left Seattle off. Ultimately, I can't get there yet to believe in Darnold. The defense, yes. Darnold's been great. They do have some weapons, so maybe they could be. But the team I trust more than them and more than the Lions and more than anybody in the NFC, that would be the Rams. They've got the head coach. We know he's proven. They've got the quarterback. They've got weapons. They're sound. They got a good defense. They're just a sound, fundamentally sound football team. They've got some quality wins. Give me the Rams as number three. I think right now they are the best team in the NFC. I would trust them to beat anybody else. Now, who the hell knows what'll happen? But I would trust the Rams to beat anybody else, certainly anybody in the NFC West. Seattle will be a tough matchup, and Seattle's been very good on the road. But I would take the Rams, anybody in the NFC South, anybody in the North. The Lions would be my only hesitation, but I still think that overall the Rams are a better team than the Lions and certainly anybody in the NFC.
It's hard not to like the Rams here. The only thing that worries me, not that this even necessarily factors into where we have them rated here, but, you know, are they going to go on the road and win in a cold, nasty climate?
They almost beat Philly last year.
I know they did.
In the snow, they played a clean game, a good game.
That was a good game. That was a good game, I know. And that's the game that was in my mind there. And they very easily could have. Now, could they win at Green Bay? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, is Chicago going to mess around and host a game? Probably not, even though they're 5-3. Either way, I'm going to just stick here, a little chalky. I've liked the Eagles more than you have this year, coming off a bye. I'm not going to penalize them there. And, oh, yeah, by the way, they made a pretty shrewd move, getting the defensive end in a trade there for Jalen Phillips. So while we were focused here locally on what the Jets did with Sauce Gardner and Quinnen Williams, one of the best teams in the NFL, defending champions, got a guy who's going to help their pass rush. And, boy, that's going to play in as we get deeper and colder into the season. So I'm still going to keep the Eagles in the top three. Philly, number three for me.
All right, so you have the Eagles and the Seahawks. I do not. You don't. You have the Bills on there? No, right? Okay, oh, man, all right. And you don't have the...
I don't have the Rams.
You don't have
and
the Rams,
I have
okay.
had the Rams a couple times. I don't have them here. I gave Seattle more love.
All right, number two, I'm going with the Chiefs on this list. That's been the same thing. My top two has not changed. Kansas City, even with the loss to Buffalo, that's what I'm saying. It's not just reacting to the loss. I still think the Chiefs, you can make an argument when all said and done, they're going to be the top team. They are my number two right now for all the reasons that are obvious. Great coach, the pedigree, the great quarterback, the improved defense. Easily can make a case for Kansas City to be number one. Right now, I got one team ahead of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a little prisoner of the moment-ish, but, I mean, you played nine games and you lost four. You know, it's hard for me to keep saying, yeah, the best team in the NFL, which I kind of thought that they still were because they were getting healthier and healthier with their offensive weapons coming back. So I do have to penalize them a little bit. I slide Kansas City in the two spot. I did not like what I saw from Mahomes over the weekend. You know, really one of his worst games ever as a pro. I mean, barely 50% completion. He threw a pick, didn't have a ton of yardage. The defense got sliced up. Over 6 yards a carry, and this is going to be, you know, I think it's 9 or 10, I think it's 10. 10 straight years Kansas City's won the AFC West. That run is over. I don't think they're going to win this division. So I've got Kansas City. I'm not abandoning hope for them to still win this thing and get to the Super Bowl. But they're a little more fallible, I think, than I thought most of the season. Kansas City, number two.
Curious to see your number one. Last week, I think we both had the Colts up there. You had them higher than I did. I can't put the Colts on there.
Nope.
I think now you're going to start to see maybe the regression. Even if they beat Atlanta, and that game is in, wherever, Germany, London, something.
It's in Berlin.
Berlin, yep, there you Germany, go. Okay, yep. Sunday. So I still just don't believe in the Colts. I was barely putting them on there. The Pats, can't put them on there either. Again, as I project forward, doesn't mean that those teams can't do it. Just right now, I'm not seeing it. I will say my number one team has been the Broncos. It's been that way consistently for a while. Maybe not just the number one ranking, but I believe that they had the best defense for a while. I'm going to say that they're the best team overall in the NFL right now. I'm a little nervous about tonight. I think they're vulnerable. Division spot, people overlooking the Raiders. You see Brock Bowers and his reemergence now. Oof. He had a monster
beast
game. Those division, like, so I'm nervous to a point where I'm not picking Denver in my knockout pool. And that might be an obvious pick to some. I think the Raiders are dangerous here tonight, and I think Denver's due for a little bit of a slip-up. But that aside, I think Denver is, to me, the best team in the NFL. Their defense, the head coach, the weapons, the quarterback play, all of it together. The true test will be what they do head-to-head against Kansas City. If they win tonight, even better for me. But I'm expecting maybe a little bit of a setback tonight. But I think Denver's true test will come when they play the Chiefs. I have them at number one.
What's the number on the game tonight? Well, do you have the spread in front of you?
I saw it was it. Six or something. I want
still
to say.
Around six?
Let me pull it up. I could be way off on
all
that.
All right, as you're looking it up, yeah. I got you. So
8.5.
Oh, wow.
Denver minus 8.5.
I think, yeah. I mean, if you want a little action tonight, I think you got to take the 8.5 rather than lay the 8.5. Meaning, take the
now,
Raiders.
And I'm saying that I wouldn't touch it as a Broncos lover
that's
and
what
supporter.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big number in a division. All right, standalone game. You'd think they'd be fired up hours back. Number one, I know they're not the best team. I'm going to just give the Bills. I am reacting to last week. I really am. You beat Kansas City. Well, I've been sitting here hyping up every single week. I've got to at least reward that mindset here. And by the way, the record's still really good. And they looked really good. 404 yards of offense, a bunch of touchdowns. I thought they had good balance. They ran the ball well, which obviously makes Josh Allen even more dangerous. And he can obviously run himself. Now, they did have an injury. One of their rotational pieces on the defensive line ruptured his Achilles. Bean did not make any trades like some of the other teams. I mentioned Jalen Phillips going to the Eagles. Obviously, the Colts got Gardner. Dallas, even though I don't think Dallas is a playoff team, they got Q Williams. So there was a lot of movement. I would have liked to have seen the Bills do something to bolster their chances here. They elected not to, or maybe they tried and they just couldn't get it done. I don't think that they'll be number one for me for a long time, but based on the Kansas City win and how good they looked in the win, Bills number one.
Yeah, I'm surprised at that.
I know, I'm surprised too.
It's a pretty drastic change to go from not having them to number one, and you left off Indy and New England?
I did not like what I saw from Daniel Jones, and I left off the Pats, yes.
Now, why
I'm giving
Pats
more love to Seattle.
By the way, I think the Pats could get beat this weekend as well. They're taking on the Bucs. I could expect them to maybe have a little bit of a setback. I'm not going to win every game the rest of the
way. No, I mean, listen, this is, I admit, this ties me up in knots mentally, because so you're right. The Patriots are not on my list, but I was saying about maybe a month ago, I'm like, hey, maybe the Patriots can mess around and win the division.
I mean, they beat the Bills.
I mean, this is going back about a month or so ago. Now a lot of people are saying, well, the Pats pretty good. I kind of saw that early, but I dropped them off here just because I think Detroit is better. I think Seattle right now is better. I think the Eagles are better. I think Kansas City's better. And I think the Bills, based on beating Kansas City, is better. If the Bills would have beaten the Dolphins or the Jets or the Raiders, no, I would not have had that massive flip there. And I do admit it's probably a bit of either a market correction or an overreaction, but I'm going to ride with the Bills here. I'm going to ride with them for a little time at the top spot. Yes.
Of your five right now,
yep,
as we go into week 10 tonight.
Week 10, jeez.
Which is the most likely, do you think, of your power five right now that will be on the outside looking
Seattle.
In?
Seattle.
Okay.
For me.
I would probably have to say the Lions, which is shocking to me.
I still believe in them.
I don't see any way. I love Denver. You know, I'm fully all in on Denver. You still have not had them crack your top five at all.
I just can't give you that bone. I can't throw you that bone.
I mean,
there.
Come on,
that's
dude.
my little personal
and
resistance.
Now watch, they get beat tonight, and now I'm going to have to.
Then I'll be justified. Yeah. You see,
well,
I told you.
Well,
nah,
potentially. Nah. No, but
I know
still,
they're good. I don't love Bo Nix. That's the problem.
Enough.
I don't love them.
Fair enough. And by the way, you could easily make the argument that of mine, Denver could get knocked down. I don't see that coming. But I don't think the Chiefs are going to get knocked off this list at all. I don't believe the Rams are going to get knocked off this list at all. And I think the Bills are back, probably could argue should never have been knocked off the list, but they have not looked good. for, you know, or the dominant team that we've seen for a few weeks in a row there. So I don't think the Bills are going anywhere. And if I believe in Denver, then that would leave the Lions the one spot. Like, maybe if I project forward, the Eagles would be that team. I don't think it's going to be Seattle. Baltimore, maybe you can make an outside case for. Mm. I don't think the Pats or the Colts. So there are some candidates now. The Packers.
What about the Bears? Are we just ignoring them?
I think they stink. I think the Giants can beat them this week. Not that I'm going to pick that. But
yeah, I got five wins. Mm. So go in descending order real fast. Give me 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 real quick. Yours. Your list there.
Just to redo it?
Just so everybody. Yep.
Bills.
Yep.
Lions. Rams. Chiefs. Denver.
No Philly.
Yeah,
so
no
you're
Philly.
Feeling Philly or not feeling them the way I'm not feeling
right.
Denver.
Right.
And I've got Detroit 5, Seattle 4. I've got the champ Eagles 3 coming off the bye. Kansas City 2, Buffalo 1.
And get back to the calls when we come back. Also have to work in the Knicks from last night as well.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.